From Capital Analytics, I'm Abby Maloney, and this is Invest Insights. Each week, we bring you perspectives, business advice, and more from the leading executives, entrepreneurs, and investors who are building, diversifying, and leading the way in the country's fastest growing metro areas. Real leaders, real insights, right now. Welcome to Invest Insights. In today's episode, I speak with Michael Finney, the president and CEO of the Beacon Council, on how to open Miami-Dade County during a pandemic. This episode was recorded on August 25th, 2020.
Welcome to Invest Insights. I'm Abby Maloney. I'm joined again today by Michael Finney, the president and CEO of the Beacon Council, the economic development organization for Miami-Dade County. Don't forget to like this video and subscribe to our channel for more insights like these. Michael, it's great to have you back again.
Oh, thanks, Abby. Glad to be with you.
You know, since we last spoke, obviously COVID-19 has had a huge economic impact on the world, and Miami-Dade is no exception. What have been your observations now sitting here in August of 2020 of the economic impact to Miami-Dade since the onset of COVID-19?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest impact has been within the hospitality and tourism industry. It's huge here in Miami-Dade. It brings literally tens of millions of visitors to the region on an annual basis. Those visitors fill up our hotels, our shops, our restaurants, our bars, and provide for major industries like the cruise industry, the airline industry, and others. And so that industry has been hit particularly hard because simply visitors aren't traveling. They can't travel. And in many cases, they're being told not to travel. So it's had a particularly devastating impact in our region and in our state. But there are some areas that are also doing reasonably well. And those are areas that are not as dependent on visitors coming to this region. Trade and logistics, as an example, the whole healthcare industry, for obvious reasons, has always been exceptionally strong here, but it's flourishing. And some of the innovations that have the potential to be commercialized, it's also interesting to see some of those within our healthcare institutions and research institutions that we have. We see banking and finance doing reasonably well. The challenges of getting cash into the community, into the hands of businesses and individuals has been particularly challenging, but it also has represented some very interesting opportunities within the financial services sector. And then technology, what an opportunity for us as a region to become a much bigger player when it comes to technology. Some of the innovation, many of whom we probably don't even understand or know of just yet, but that are likely to come as a result of this crisis that we're in, I think will allow us to be a leader when it comes to tech innovation in the United States and around the world.
You know, you mentioned banking and finance, and the Miami-Dade, South Florida in general has a very robust banking and finance sector with community banks, regional banks, national banks, international banks all located here. And that has in many ways provided us with opportunities to get the PPP loans and the CARES Act processed. But in terms of small businesses, do you think that we need some more funding? What does that look like?
So it's an interesting question. The dynamic is when we talk to small businesses, and by the way, we've done outreach to more than 50,000 small businesses that are located here in Miami-Dade. Some have responded, not all have responded. But those who are responding are consistently saying, roughly 56% are saying they need access to capital as the highest priority. But then when we take a step back and look at the kind of funding sources that are available, if we just look at what came from the federal government, the Payroll Protection Program or the PPP from CARES, and then the EIDL, the Emergency Loan Program through SBA, if we just look at those two programs, there was actually dollars left on the table. If you look at just the PPP program, there was more than $100 billion that was left on the table when the program sunset for applications the first week of August. And why was that? Well, it's because many of our small businesses that are telling us they need access to capital in order to restart and grow simply weren't prepared when it came to meeting the requirements of the PPP program and the application process that banks require. So they didn't have solid financial records. They didn't have human resources records. They didn't have all of their business licensing in place that they needed, and a whole slew of other, what I'll call just back office support things that these small businesses need. And that's not uncommon. Many small businesses are operating on a shoestring, and so they don't have the resources to hire lawyers and accountants and other consultants to help them get their businesses in order. The unfortunate side of that is when we have a crisis like this and there's a need to access many of these programs, they're not equipped to do it. And the rush to try and get ready, there simply aren't enough resources to help. So one of the things that we did is now we formed a team. We call it our implementation team, for lack of a better term. But it includes 26 different organizations, including us, from around Miami-Dade County. It's the Small Business Development Center at FIU. It's Prospera, Camicol. It's the Chambers of Commerce, several of them, and many other organizations that are helping and partnering with us to provide the kind of technical assistance or support, business support, to help these companies get their house in order so that when the next program comes along, they'll be in a position to get it. And in fact, there are still some resources available that if they can, in fact, get organized, they'll have access. So we're trying to be a resource to help these small businesses so in the future, they are better prepared than they were this time around. Because we know, living in South Florida, there will be other emergencies and disasters where federal and state programs will be available. So why not be ready for it?
Absolutely. Just last week, the Beacon Council's Technology Committee introduced IMPACT, the IMPACT Project. Can you tell us more about the project and your expectations for it? And how else is the Beacon Council assisting the county's recovering efforts?
Yeah, so Beacon Council, the way we operate within the business community, we have formed committees that represent the targeted industry sectors that we focus on. And one of them happens to be technology. So our technology committee is really focused on moving the needle as a targeted location, a center of domain expertise when it comes to tech development, whether that's artificial intelligence, virtual reality, you name it. There's an awful lot of really cool technology and innovations that are happening. And it's our technology committee that has led this whole effort with IMPACT. The program rolled out a social distancing detector tool that's being developed by some of our companies. The idea is to help us with our ability to identify when someone's within that social distancing boundary that we've set. And what a wonderful way to get a quick alert that someone's in your space and there may be a need for you to move or to alert someone. Sounds like a simple tool, but desperately needed as we see what's happening around the country as our kids start going back to school and as we start to reopen businesses. These are the kinds of resources and the kinds of innovations that I was describing earlier that will likely represent a real thought leadership as we move forward. The second major component of it is MiamiTech.Works. That's a portal that's designed to really help with reskilling, upskilling, and then just tech and high knowledge-based employment opportunities. What we're trying to do is say to our residents that no matter what industry you may have been employed in prior to this crisis that we're in, here's an opportunity for you to reskill. It's an opportunity for you to upskill. Or you can then move to an entirely different industry sector that has tech as a component to it. It launched last week. So far, the reviews have been absolutely fantastic. And we're looking forward to this making a huge difference with our residents as they look to recover out of this crisis that we've been in. And then the last piece, our universities are very involved in the work that we do, especially through our One Community, One Goal effort. And so three of our universities, University of Miami, Florida International, and Miami-Dade College, are collaborating to host a number of cybersecurity workshops. They all have wonderful educational academic programs. And by bringing those together and doing these workshops, we think it represents a great opportunity to help our businesses understand how to protect themselves as we move out of this crisis. So three really interesting capabilities that are coming together that our tech committee has affectionately called IMPACT. And we're excited to be a part of it. We're excited to have such a robust effort from our business community in support of our activities.
When COVID-19 first started, I think most companies and most people thought we would be back into the office by the summer. And here we are at the end of the summer, and clearly that is not our reality. And so it might be a little bit difficult to see, but Do you believe that Miami-Dade is well positioned for economic recovery in Q4 of this year, or are we looking further afield in 2021?
As my friend Bill Talbert, who is the CEO at the Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau, would say, it's all about the dirt, right? And so this geography that we sit in, this dirt that Miami exists on, it has some unique features that are not easy to duplicate. One, our strategic position with respect to Latin America, the Caribbean, and even Europe positions us very favorably for many of the industries that have thrived here. For obviously, hospitality and tourism will be big because of, you know, nearly 300 days a year of sunshine. The kind of weather, the climate that we get is something that's unmatched. So it will be a natural draw for hospitality and tourism once we come out of this crisis. The kind of industries that we have here, again, because of our geography, our business climate, our tax climate, those are issues that are unlikely to change in the state of Florida and in Miami-Dade. So clearly, we are positioned well once the world starts to come out of this crisis, but we've got some work to do. We as a state still haven't quite gotten on the same page with respect to how to address this. We certainly haven't gotten on the same page at the national level. I, for one, happen to think that if we could just get on the same page on these key issues, I think we have a chance to bring ourselves out of this recovery sooner rather than later. At the end of the day, surely we all trust that there will be therapies or a vaccine that will allow us to engage on a more normal basis. But the reality is what we're doing right now will likely be the new normal. We'll find ways to do business via electronic technology. We're finding it to be extremely useful in our business. In fact, we've had only a modest change in our key performance indicators that we're measuring. In other words, businesses are still coming in, still setting up shop or making commitments to build out over the long term. But we still have a ways to go, in all honesty. We still have a lot of work to do. And our small businesses in particular are hurting because many of them rely on the tourism industry that we are so well known for as a region.
And before we close, do you have a message of resilience for our viewers?
Well, I think the right message is follow the guidelines that are being established by the medical professionals, by the scientists, because they have yet to be wrong in terms of their predictions. They're not precise, but directionally, their predictions are absolutely correct. So let's just try and follow these basic guidelines that our healthcare professionals and that our scientists are giving us. And I think that gives us the highest probability of a speedy recovery from the challenges that we're facing right now.
You have been listening to Invest Insights. Be sure to follow, rate, and review this podcast to hear more. I'm Abby Maloney. Thank you for tuning in.